breaking down Wisconsin basketball. This is The Swing with Zach Heilprin and Jesse Temple on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Yes, welcome in. Don't know that we are expecting to do this episode just yet, or even do an episode of The Swing at this point. But now that Temple and Heilprin is in the past, we have some things that we need to talk about basketball-wise, Jesse, and that is the stunning news. Maybe the word stunning is a little bit too much just because this is college basketball and that's just the way things are. But Wisconsin's starting point guard for the past 3 years is in the transfer portal. Chucky Hepburn is headed elsewhere from Madison. He's done after 3 years. And going back to last year, it felt like there was a chance he could have left. He didn't. He stayed. Him and his Badger tattoo stayed. This time around, 9 days ago, he was working out with the team. And right now, or I should say last night, he told Greg Gard and staff that he is moving on. I don't know where we go with this, but just reaction, gut reaction to when you saw the news that Chucky Hepburn was going to be moving on.
Well, I think stunning is still the right word to use, even though we are in a completely different era from anything we've ever seen in college athletics, where anybody can leave when the transfer portal opens. But still, this is a guy who, for the last three seasons, was Wisconsin's starting point guard, had played in 103 career games, all of them starts, and like you said, talked about his love for this program and how it went beyond basketball and how he had a tattoo of the Badgers. And he said that after the Illinois game, after Howard Moore was honored. So I can understand it was perhaps a bit of an emotional moment, and then you have some time after the season to assess your situation. But I'm still very surprised, and I thought he was going to be one of those handful of guys, along with Max Klesman and Steven Crowell, who were going to be the leaders for the team next season and try to help elevate the program. But now he's gone, and it leaves a lot of questions about what this offseason is going to look like for Wisconsin, and they need a point guard right now.
They do. Going back to just the idea of Chucky leaving, he was in tears in the locker room out in Brooklyn, in tears, and talking about how this is not how Badgers go out. This is, you know, Badgers don't lose in the first round. And then at the end of his statement, it was like, but we're going to get back to this. This isn't the last of us. And all the way to the point of April 9th, when UW put out the tweet about them being back at it and him lifting weights with the team, this feels like something, and again, this feels like something that wasn't going to happen. And then because tampering exists, and it's clearly out there, back channel tampering and contacting guys and phones blowing up and telling them, hey, this is what we're willing to offer. It moved the needle enough for him to make this decision. I don't know that he went into the offseason thinking this is what I was going to do. I could be wrong about that, but I think it took something special for him to make this move. And it feels like you're not making this move unless you already have that destination in mind. Now, he doesn't necessarily have that. Was it an exclamation point or a check mark next to his name saying do not contact, which you can do when you go to the portal. And when people do that, you know, they already have a destination in mind. But this feels like a situation where it's just too good to pass up. Like we'll get official numbers. We kind of talked about this on the camp the other day about how the Oregon State running back where he entered the transfer portal and someone from Oregon State clearly put out that he was going to be their highest paid player at $400,000. I feel like, and I've seen some numbers out there already. I'm not going to throw them here because they're not official, but it feels like it's a pretty extensive and lucrative move that Chucky Hepburn would be making to do this after everything that he has said in the past.
Yeah, I don't know whether we would ever get anything on the record in terms of the amount of money, although clearly
we're getting there. We're getting close. Yeah, we're getting close. It has to be. This is not, you're not going to be able to hide behind that stuff anymore. Like, I think we're getting closer to it being something that's going to be out in the open and just pretty much just thrown out there when a team that doesn't, when it doesn't go their way, is going to throw numbers out there and you're going to be able to be like, okay, well, this is what they were offering. He's getting more than this.
Yes. Somebody somewhere will talk, even if it's not going to be Chucky, who understandably didn't respond to a text wanting comment today. But this is, we would be naive not to bring up NIL and what it has done for the transfer portal and players and however many hundreds of thousands of dollars are out there, and whether your school can meet it or not has a lot to do with whether these guys are leaving. So I mean, we already know, and I'm sure we'll get to it, but AJ Storr's situation, shopping around to different schools, trying to get a certain amount of money. And as of today, reportedly, and I know the guys at The Athletic reported this, he's going to end up at Kansas, even though there was a previous tweet that they had asked the Storrs camp had asked for $1 million, and the top that Kansas gave was $750,000. Again, that is someone else's reporting, so it's not something I can verify, but somewhere along the line, they were able to come together and strike a deal. That is what's out there now for some of the top players. And Chucky, I don't know where he would be ranked among the transfer portal players, but certainly among the most sought after point guards in the portal, given the fact that he was a 3-year starter at a Big Ten program. So this is unfortunately, and fortunately for the players, I suppose, but for college basketball and for the fan base, the way that it is. And I think it's worth at this point at least noting what Greg Gard said. And this is a statement that he put out that the Wisconsin Athletics Department provided. In part, what he says is, in today's college basketball, players are making transactional decisions all over the country at every level. And he said, there's no time to complain about the system in place. We're dedicating all of our energy right now into finding the next fits for our program. This is probably my favorite part of the statement. In fact, minutes after talking to Chucky about this, I was already pursuing another talented point guard who was in the portal. This is the reality of college basketball today. And that is the truth.
It is. And we now have a statement from Chucky Hepburn that he has put out that he is obviously entering the transfer portal, and that, that this was not a reaction to something Wisconsin or I should say, it's not a reflection of anything lacking at Wisconsin. I kind of feel like it is. I kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of feel like it is. He says, as I embark on this new chapter and enter the transfer portal, please know that my decision is not a reflection of anything lacking at Wisconsin. Rather, it is an opportunity for me to explore new possibilities and continue my journey in pursuit of my dreams. Thank you, Wisconsin, for everything you have given me. I will carry the lessons and memories from my time here with me wherever I go, and will always be proud to have been a Badger. I mean, you're not leaving Wisconsin unless it is lacking something, right? And for 3 years, it was not lacking what Chucky Hepburn wanted, and now it is in terms of, look, I'm not going to just say it's money. I think I don't want to limit that down to Chucky. Like, I don't want to say he's leaving strictly because of money, but I feel like in this day and age, it's hard not to go that route. Maybe you agree or disagree with that. Like, it's hard to look past anything other than this is a money thing. This is pro. And more often than not, it's who offers the most money is where pros end up. Like, I remember this is going all the way back to when free agency began in the NFL in 1993 with Reggie White. And it was like, yeah, God told me to go to Green Bay. Well, Green Bay also gave you the most money, right? Like, they also offered the most money of anybody. That's why you ended up at Green Bay. There are a number of reasons you go to places, but at this point, the money that that these guys are getting, it's very hard to overlook, because you don't know if this money is ever going to be available to you at the next level. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know if you're going to be a professional. And if you are going to be professional, it may not be at the NBA level. It may be overseas. And the money you're getting to play college basketball may be more than you want, what you end up making at the next level. And guys have to take advantage of that. And I certainly think AJ Storr is doing that. And I also think that Chucky Hepburn is, in my opinion, doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's a completely fair point you're making about maximizing your value at the time in which you are most valuable. Is Chucky an NBA player? Certainly he would love to have that opportunity, and I suppose we'll see, but you have the opportunity at this time to make a significant amount of money. And much like in other sports, you want to capitalize on that when you can. And again, as disappointing as this is for the fan base, for people who come to know and love certain players and want them to stick around and start and finish at the place where you start, more and more, this is what we're going to be seeing. And I think in particular, and we see this in college football, obviously, quarterbacks, running backs, but in basketball, there's only so many guys out there, like a Chucky Hepburn or because there's fewer players, and so their value is even greater to a team, it feels like. And so this is just where we're headed.
It is where we're headed, and it's also where a lot of people are looking at. Like, if you go and read the average comment section, which I don't necessarily advise all the time, especially in emotional situations like this, but a lot of people blaming Greg Gard for this. Where would you, in terms of if we have to place blame, and I'm not saying we have to, but in this context, as a show, we're asking to place some blame. Does Greg Gard hold anything here, or is this just simply because of what this world is? That's what it is.
That's a really good question and a hard one to answer. I think if somebody wants to leave, I don't know what you can do as a head coach. You can have the greatest relationship in the world, but you're not the one cutting the check, if in fact that is a determining factor.
I'm saying it is. I don't know if you're saying it is. I think it is, clearly.
Yeah. It would be hard for me to find fault in Greg with about Chucky leaving. I look at it like, what more could you offer a guy other than an opportunity to come in right away and start, and you were going to be the guy next season too? Now, as a player, you may not like where you stand in the offense or some of those changes, and you may struggle, but like, if as a coach, if you have an open line of communication and you offer an opportunity, I feel like that is a pretty good position to be in. I know there are some other players where you can say, oh, well, Greg should have played him more. The one who obviously comes to mind is Connor Asiejan, although you and I have both talked about, like, you've got to earn your minutes. And there were other guys who were doing more things well. But like in this situation, I cannot find fault in the head coach. He's not the one who's in charge of a collective or making decisions, I wouldn't think, about how much someone can get paid. And certainly he's not responsible for however much money another school out there may be offering.
Yeah, like Wisconsin has money to spend. They don't have the money to spend that some of these blue bloods do. Let's just
Yeah.
be, I mean, if we're being fair about it, right? Like Kansas is at a different level. Louisville, a team that I think we're going to be hearing about here moving forward, is a blue blood and has money to spend, and they're going to spend it. And they have more than Wisconsin. The biggest teams, like Wisconsin, on a grand scheme, I would say is probably top 20, probably top 25 at worst in terms of money to spend. But the teams that are coming in and taking their best players, AJ Storr and Chucky Hepburn, likely are ahead of them when it comes to the money that they're either willing to spend or have to spend. And some of this situation is where certain schools are willing to spend more on basketball than they are on football. And a lot of these schools, some of these schools don't have basketball or football to spend on. But if you were to ask the average Wisconsin fan, which team would you rather your boosters and your donors spend money on? Would it be football or basketball at Wisconsin? What would you say?
I
I think it'd be
would say
overwhelmingly
football.
football.
I would say football.
So here I saw this take from Jerry Bergeron on Twitter, the former Badger, played under obviously Bo Ryan, but also Greg Gard. He said, if every Badger fan that complained about transfers and called for Greg Gard to be fired contributed to the Varsity Collective, we would be able to afford Chucky in store 10 times over. I completely disagree with that. That is such a simplification of it. You think 10 bucks here and 20 bucks here is going to be able to pay that type of money 10 times over? It's that is a, I don't want to call it a bad take. It's a simplification of what it is. This is not about NIL and the Varsity Collective. This is the amount of the money that's being spent is not money coming out of the pockets of the average fan. It is the super fan of which has a lot of money to spend. That's where that money is coming from. It's not, in my opinion, it's not coming from the individual person that's going to be spending 10 or 15 bucks and contributing 10 or 15 bucks on a like a weekly basis or a monthly basis?
I have a really hard time with just the idea in general of asking average Joe to contribute 20 bucks or 50 bucks or whatever to an NIL plan for guys who could leave in 3 months, but that's a separate conversation. But I think you're right, Zach. In order to be able to fund the super high end guys, I don't think you can. I mean, maybe you can. I don't know the math on that. Let's say you get 1,000 people together and they all donate $100 or something like that. I mean, there you got 100 grand. So that might pay for 5 games.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. Like how far away from guys like trying to like renegotiate within the season, to, like play individual games? Cause there's literally just no rules here whatsoever. There's no rules to this whatsoever. Greg Gard's getting paid handsomely to do this job. And so you're like, no one's feeling bad for him and no one's feeling bad for any of these college coaches, but it's a different atmosphere that Wisconsin has rolled into. Okay. Let's break away from this idea that Chucky Hepburn is not here anymore. AJ Storr obviously was not coming back. What do they do? And I know Greg Gard in that statement said that they're already after a very talented point guard, or it was, you know, within minutes was going after another talented point guard. We don't know what that will bring. It feels like they will have more money here now that you don't have the money tied up in Chucky and tied up in Frankie Fiddler, who's obviously not coming to Wisconsin. They have some options here. And then obviously also Daniel Freitag, who is committed at this point and was – I know he was under drugs the other day when he was doing this, but he was talking about Greg Gard's his goat and he misses him. I don't know if do you remember that post? You see that post?
Yeah, I did. Daniel also, just as we're having this conversation, posted something. His big phrase is like "time will tell," but he posted a graphic of someone in the stands with a sign that says "time will tell" with the hourglass, which obviously is, I think, his acknowledging the situation. And being
so
able
is
to
he, so is he gone? Because I got someone in my mentions saying that means he's gone.
Oh, I don't believe that. I mean, if anything, that creates a better opportunity for him. He was going to come in and not be a starter for a year. So I'm not saying he's going to automatically be the guy, but not out of the realm of possibility, depending on what happens in the portal.
Yeah. So is that if you're Greg Gard, obviously you know you need to add pieces. You certainly don't. Yeah. I mean, they're after Brandon Angel, who I believe is at making a visit to Duke as we speak. But he was visiting Wisconsin this past weekend. He would obviously be a really nice fit to that front court. But you have Daniel Freitag. You potentially are trying to add more to that to that backcourt. What does the outlook look like for Wisconsin? Say they don't add anybody in the backcourt. Is it like in terms of like a starting piece, even though I think that is obviously what they're looking for. If they don't, is Daniel Freitag ready?
Well, that's
Hepburn ready? Like back in 2021, you know, when they threw Chucky into the mix. And I know that it was a little bit different because he had Brad Davison and he had Johnny Davis to be there along with him. He wasn't necessarily being counted on to do a lot of things. Might be a little bit different with Daniel Freitag, but would you think so?
Well, I think it would be a distinct possibility, but I also think there's a part of me that thinks there's no way Wisconsin doesn't end up with a point guard out of the transfer portal, given the situation. But of course, you always run the risk in the portal, and we see it in football too, of going over somebody who's already a part of your program or going to be a part of your program and pissing them off. And that is the balance that you have to strike. But I just look at their roster construction right now, and as it stands, there are 3 available scholarship spots for this next season. They need, to me, a point guard. They obviously need a scoring wing. And if you could get some help with among the bigs, that'd be ideal too. So I feel like they're going to get someone, but if they don't, I think it's, look, your options are Kamari McGee, who was a reserve, did some good things as a reserve, but didn't put up big numbers, averaged a couple points a game. Not a big assist guy in the minutes that he did get. And Freitag. And obviously you've got other guards. You have a John Blackwell, a Max Klesman, but those guys aren't true point guards, and you like them on the wing and the ability to defend wing players. So I think they would like a point guard. And if Freitag has to be ready, I would like to think that he is ready. Look, I know we don't want to say the end all be all our recruiting rankings, but he's the number 10 point guard in the country. He's the best recruiting win that Greg Gard has had. And if there's anybody that is going to come in and you're going to ride, I would think it would be someone exactly like him.
Yeah. Blackwell, I mean, played point in high school, right? Like in it's I shouldn't say all the time, but it was certainly he was certainly comfortable with. I don't think that that's what they want to do. I think they want to put him out on the wing if he's going to become a starter, assuming they don't get a wing at this point in the portal, even though I still think they need to. And they do again have a little bit more money to throw around, and there are some names that are there that you'll be hearing here in the next week, I would assume, or the next few days here, I would assume, of guys that they're targeting, especially with that additional cash now available. But the idea of a freshman not being able to come in and play right away, especially at Wisconsin, is I think is out the window, right? We are at a different point in time in the college basketball era that we're in, of guys not being. This is not Bo Ryan anymore, and this is not even early Greg Gard anymore. This is guys, if they're ready, they're going to come in and they're going to play, and he's going to give them a shot. And I would think that Freitag would get a shot.
I would think that as well. But again, it all depends on what happens. And whenever we next have a conversation on an episode of The Swing, the roster is going to look completely different because they've got spots to fill. And this is still an attractive program in the Big Ten, and they are going to fill them. We just have no idea which of those guys it's going to be.
So, how big of a hit does this take for your expectations for next year? Because, and again, I know we don't know. We're basing this off of what we know at this moment, but this feels like a pretty significant hit.
Yeah, it's no doubt a significant hit for next season, given all Chucky had given you and the role he was likely to occupy next season. Now, he took a back seat in terms of scoring, which worked for a good stretch this year. They had AJ Storr, but he was going to once again be the guy. And again, you were going to be relying on Hepburn, Crowell, Klesmet. John Blackwell was going to have a bigger role. Nolan Winter certainly as well, but your go-to guy in a lot of those situations was going to be Chucky. So I think it'll be significant. It's hard to say. I know, like in baseball, there's a wins above replacement category. And so I don't know how many wins Chucky was worth and how many wins whoever else comes in will be worth and whether that will be above Chucky. But I think it's a significant blow. And it hurts more, I think, from the standpoint of just what he did for the last 3 years. Like, it's hard to ignore that aspect. Like, yes, you're looking ahead to next season, but for someone who was a day one starter to leave at a time when he was going to be your senior leader, that's just a really tough pill to swallow.
Is Wisconsin at that point? Is Wisconsin in that? Like, is Wisconsin any? Not, they're obviously in a better position financially than, say, a mid-major school, but are they a stepping stone?
Well, it depends on the player, I think. I mean, are they a stepping stone to someone who comes in here like a Daniel Freitag or whoever else hypothetically is a really highly regarded player? I think it depends on the individual, but we'd again all be naive if we didn't say that you come to a place, any place, and have success. There are going to be people at other schools who are going to try and poach you. But it's up to the individual, I think, to decide what's best for them. And we don't know the financial situation involved here, so it's hard to speculate on the particulars.
We don't know, but we kind of know. Like we kind of know that obviously if he is entering the portal, he's getting something better somewhere else. This isn't simply just he thinks he can be a better basketball player at a school that finished dead last in the ACC last year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess I'm just from the standpoint of, well, if we just knew, oh, he
The
was
exact
making
figures.
250 at Wisconsin, but now he's going to go make 800, you'd be like, oh, all right. Like, in my mind, that
Yes.
makes a lot of sense. You know what I mean? So it's all left at this point to speculation, but I'm not going to sit here and say that Wisconsin as a basketball program should be or is viewed as a stepping stone to get to a Kentucky or whatever it may be. But I think we
What's
also
happened?
have to acknowledge, well, right, we also have to acknowledge that if this situation continues to happen in this fashion, and we'll see whatever, wherever Chucky ends up going, then we will have more evidence and ability to analyze what this means. Because that's another part of this, is all of this is still so new. The transfer portal and the financial opportunities at some of these other places, if you start seeing these four schools getting all the guys, very clearly it means they've got all the money. And so it'd be easier to say definitively, well, Wisconsin just doesn't have the financial means relative to these other schools. And so it is a stepping stone if they're going to go to X number of schools, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Again, there are, as I said before, I think Wisconsin in terms of money available is a top 20, top 25 school. I don't know that officially because we don't have the exact figures, but just based on, you know, looking around what they have available compared to some of the other schools, I think they are higher, but there's just a list of schools above them that have more money. And I think the list includes Louisville. It includes Kentucky. It includes Kansas. It includes Arkansas, now that John Calipari is there. I think Texas is probably among those as well. Like there are places that are just going to spend more money. And a lot of those places also are able to spend football too, which is kind of funny. Like Texas can spend both football and basketball. That's what they have, that ability. If Wisconsin was to, if Wisconsin didn't have basketball, they'd be better situated for football. And if they didn't have football, they'd be better situated for basketball. But they have both, and they have success at both, and they want money to be spent in both. And that's the way that this is right now. Again, Greg Gard said that they have three times more money now than they did at this time last year. I'd love to know the figure that he's, you know, what is that times, right? Like, what's the official? I've seen the numbers, but what's the official three times more? And how much more is it going to be next year or the year after that, if this is going to continue on the way that it is, where there is essentially free agency and no salary cap, and they're all one-year deals, and probably not even that, as we've seen in football with guys committing, Caden Proctor committing to go from Alabama to Iowa and now going back to Alabama, or the kid that committed to USC was there for like 3 months and is now back in the transfer portal as a true freshman. Like there's nothing to it at this point. There's nothing keeping it in line. And I don't know. And I know Greg Gard, you know, has talked about it a little bit. Like this is just, it's unsustainable. And I think Luke Fickell has kind of mentioned it as well, especially the calendar and how everything's played out. It's not sustainable. And then you would hope at some point that they figure this out. And I'm kind of at that point. I know we talked about this at different times. Just get me to the end point of whatever this is. Just get me to the end point, and then I'll be good to go. But right now, this isn't fun. Whether it's a team you cover or whether it's hasn't affected you at all, it's not fun. This isn't what anybody grew up wanting to cover or watch or experience as a fan. No one did. I can't imagine.
Yeah, that's one thing I've seen pretty frequently in the comments section of some of my stories, and obviously a lot of what I write is football related, but it's really hard from the fan perspective to see what it once was and see what it is now. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing for players to be able to capitalize on all of this, especially after decades of the NCAA profiting where the players got absolutely nothing. It's just that the situation itself makes it really challenging from a fan perspective to kind of fall in love with the team in a given year. Like, yes, they say you root for the name on the front and not the back, but part of what has always made it fun, and you and I used to be fans of this before we were reporters covering the team, was seeing your guy come in and being able to root for him for X number of years and knowing that he was going to be a part of your program. And that's just not the way that it is anymore. And in fact, the guys who are maybe the biggest parts of your program still can leave, just like Chucky's leaving right now. So from a coverage standpoint, every offseason is more interesting now than it ever has been, because there's going to be 15 guys that leave in football and 15 that come in. But from a rooting interest perspective, it just makes it that much harder to really get into a team each year, I think.
That coming from Jesse Temple, fan of Kansas growing up.
Yeah, before all of this. It was. I mean, my favorite player, was Jacques Vaughn, who most people listening probably don't know. I wore number 11 because of him for my entire basketball career. But you knew if he was a stud freshman, he was going to be there. And it was really rare for someone even to leave early. But we're also talking about an era that doesn't exist anymore. Like Paul Pierce left after 3 years and obviously had a great NBA career. And at that time, it was rare for someone to do that. And that was to go to the NBA to get paid. So it's, you know, we're of an age where we can sort of lament what is happening because we remember what it used to be. But I think we also have to acknowledge that what it is now is a completely different situation. And so it's like comparing two different sports almost.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of a single time, and maybe I'm haven't thought enough about it, but like where a guy like Chucky, who has been so ingrained in the program, and as you mentioned, would be a senior leader and has the Wisconsin tattoo and everything like that, being so dedicated to Wisconsin for so long, just picked up and leave. And this isn't a, this is not a coaching move. This is not like this, there's nothing there. It's not like it's a, like the program got a new coach or anything like that. This is just picking up and moving from a guy that had committed like that to Wisconsin for that long. I feel like this would be, I can't think of another guy like that at Wisconsin I'm talking about.
No,
Hunter
absolutely
Dickinson,
not.
Hunter Dickinson comes to mind at Michigan. but speaking of, you know, Kansas guy, people, Kansas taking people, but like just guys that are so Wisconsin, and that's exactly what you know and you felt Wisconsin was, and the way that he talked during the season. And I know you said that it was an emotional time, but that with the Howard Moore thing, but like that was kind of the way he talked throughout the year. So it is, again, not stunning, because there was a chance that it almost happened last year with some of the money that was being thrown around. But it felt like, based on the recruiting that he was trying to do and the fact that he was working out with the team, and then to do this, it took, I'm guessing, and I, again, numbers out there, but it took something special for him to pull up stakes and do this.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
So, all right. Well, Wisconsin has four scholarship players in the portal now. It sounds like, I believe it's five or six. What is it? Six total? Maybe seven?
Seven
with
total.
The walk-ins.
Yeah, Ross Candelino, Luke Hurdle, and then Isaac Lindsay's obviously in the portal as well. And then the scholarship guys, we've mentioned Storr Hepburn, Connor Sejan, and Gus Yaldin. So a significant turnover on the roster this offseason. Actually, it might be the most turnover I can ever remember, other than you just lost five seniors.
Right. And it's been a while since that happened.
Yes.
You think about the Final Four squad in 2015. They lost Decker, Kaminsky, Gosser, Duye, and Trayvon Jackson.
Yep.
So that was a pretty extensive turnover, but they had a lot of the guys, like when you have Nigel and you have Bronson and you had Shoei, like there were still guys that had been a part of it. And I guess that's kind of what they have now, but it's a significant change for Wisconsin. We'll see how they fill it out. Anything else you wanted to hit on? Well, it sounds like Connor Sejan, he's been at a couple of different places. I think he went to Maryland. I think he went to South Carolina, and then just recently went to Indiana. Indiana would be an interesting spot for him, considering he grew up there, and I'm sure probably idolized the Hoosiers growing up, and to end back up there would be a pretty nice spot if that was to be where he ended up. I haven't heard anything regarding Gus and where he might end up. Sound like Isaac Lindsay has already committed to South Dakota State, so he's found a new spot, and I'm sure we'll hear very quickly here where Chucky Hepburn ends up.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, everybody is just waiting to see what is Greg and his staff going to be able to do when it comes to the transfer portal, because that's going to dictate whether next season has a chance to be successful. We know they're going to get people, but we just don't know who that's going to be and how the pieces fit together. And so the next month is going to be wild.
It is. Can't wait, right? Gosh, this sucks. All right. Hey, Jesse, thank you very much.
Thanks, Zach.
All right. You've been listening to The Swing.